6. The amillennialists love to emphasize the curses of the Mosaic covenant. Look at Deuteronomy 28, and notice, if you will, verse 64. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you from all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which are of your fathers, which your fathers have not known. So they say, look, Israel disobeyed. God has poured out His curses upon the nation of Israel. So God is finished with Israel. And they'll quote a very select passage like this to prove their point. The basic problem with this is they're confusing the covenants. What does the Mosaic covenant grant? Not ownership, but what? Possession or enjoyment. Passage like this is a denial of a generation to enjoy the blessings. If this passage meant that God has cut off Israel completely, He would be denying everything He said in which covenant? The Abrahamic covenant. But you see, in amillennial thinking, they don't have a sophistication in terms of one covenant gives ownership, another covenant gives possession or ownership. So they'll quote one something out of the Mosaic covenant, not understanding its emphasis, wanting people to believe that Israel has now been cut off. You see, it's a lot like our salvation. We're saved by faith alone. I don't know if this camp takes a view on eternal security, once saved, always saved. I take that view. I'm going to heaven. But you know what? I've stepped out of line in my Christian life. And you know what God has done? He's taken me to the woodshed many, many times. Whom the Lord loves, the Lord what? Chastens. Now, when He's chastening me, is my salvation ever incinerated and disappeared? No. And see, it's the same program with Israel. The Abrahamic covenant gives them their ultimate arrival in terms of the kingdom coming. But the Mosaic covenant spells out the discipline that they experience through disobedience. And we should not misinterpret discipline as a denial of the covenant structure any more than you as a Christian interpret discipline coming into your life as a denial of eternal security. You see the connection there? One more. I might give you two more if I really feel sadistic. Matthew 21:43. They use this argument quite a bit. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a people producing the fruit in it. Jesus is speaking to Israel. And Jesus says, the kingdom is going to be taken away from you, Israel, and given to another people because of your disobedience. The amillennialist comes along and says, there it is, right there in the Bible. Jesus said the kingdom is going to be taken away from Israel and given to the who? The church. That's their standard interpretation of this verse. They, I believe, are incorrect on two fronts. They're incorrect in who the kingdom is taken from, and they're incorrect in terms of who it's given to. Because they want you to believe that Jesus is saying the whole kingdom program is taken away from the whole nation of Israel. But look at verse 46. Actually 45. When the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they understood that he was speaking about who? Them. Who was Jesus speaking to? Not Israel as a whole, but to who? First century Israel. That's who the kingdom was taken from. Now, who is it going to be given to? Verse 45 says it'll be given to a people. It's ethnos in the Greek, nation. And people think, well, that's the church. God divested the kingdom from Israel and gave it to the church. But is the church an ethnos? Is the church a nation? No, it's not. Romans 10:19 specifically says that the church is a no nation or a non-nation. We consist of many nations, not a nation. But is Israel a nation? Yes, she is. In John 11:51 and Acts 24:17, what you'll discover is that the word ethnos is applied to Israel. So let me put the whole thing together for you. What is Jesus saying here in Matthew 21:43? Therefore I tell you, the kingdom will be taken from you and given to a ethnos, or a people producing fruit in it. The amillennialists say the kingdom is taken from Israel and given to the church. That's not what the passage is saying. What it's saying is the kingdom which was offered to first century Israel, which they rejected in Matthew 12, is taken away from that generation and given to who? A future generation of Israel, not to the church. And that follows nicely into Matthew 23, 38, and 39. You will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Speaking of that future generation, flows nicely into the Olivet Discourse, where we have the description of the tribulation and the conversion of Israel. Matthew 21, 45, 43 really, is not saying the kingdom is taken away from Israel as a whole and given to the church. What it's saying is it's taken away from first century Israel that rejected the offer of the kingdom, but it's going to be given to future Israel, a distant generation in the tribulation, who will receive the offer of the kingdom. See, all I'm doing is I'm putting Bible verses in their context. And you have to watch theologians carefully because they want to make a point and they'll quote a bunch of verses to make their point. And 9 times out of 10, what you'll discover is the verses they're quoting are out of context. What are the 3 rules of Bible and study interpretation? What are the 3 rules of real estate? Location, location, location. What are the 3 rules of Bible study? Context, context, context. Things make sense in their context. I could make the Bible sound any way I wanted if I didn't care about context. Judas went out and hung himself. Go thou and do likewise. What you do, do quickly. So there we go. The Bible supports suicide. The problem is I took all those verses out of context. A text without a context is nothing more than a pretext or a proof text. And amillennialists, bless their hearts, use these verses constantly. They've been using these since Augustine. And they're using these verses all out of their context. Has God ever cut off a generation only to use another generation? Is that not exactly what He did in the book of Numbers? The generation that came out of Egypt, that saw the giants in the land and fell into unbelief, God says, I'm finished with you. He's not saying they all went to hell, because Moses would have gone to hell too, because he didn't enter the land either. So that doesn't make any sense. What He's saying is, you're not going to receive a blessing of Canaan. I'm going to start working with your kids. So Jesus, when He says the kingdom is going to be taken away from you and given to a people producing fruit thereof, to a Bible reader, to a Jewish mind, they would understand that He's disinheriting one generation and He's going to work with another generation. Another Jewish generation. That's all Matthew 21 is saying. Well, those are the 7 arguments the amillennialists use. Are the biblical covenants eternal? Yes, they are. At this time, and I'm not going to do it because I just don't have the time, I was going to go into Galatians 6:16, which is one of the key texts the amillennialists use to explain that the church is the Israel of God. I have 10 points as to why what they're doing is wrong, and I would go far beyond my time period to do that. So maybe one of these camps you can have me back and we'll look at Galatians 6:16. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for your truth and for your word and how it speaks to us. We're grateful for the meal that's coming, I believe. And I ask, Father, that you would use these sessions to equip us in the great eschatological war, that we're called to represent you in these troubled times and stand up for your future kingdom program and the Jewish people. And you haven't forgotten them, Father, and you haven't forgotten us either. And so I just ask that you'll just continue to work in this conference and equip us. And I know for a lot of folks this is a lot of information, but even if they're not catching everything, they're catching some of it, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for the audio-visual where you can go back and review. But just light our hearts on fire, Father, for what concerns you. Break our hearts for the things that break your heart. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.